I don't remember what we talked about last time we recorded, so I kind of do because I found the notes on my phone, but...
You don't remember what we were talking about?
A little bit. I remember the note I had on my phone was about the Target smell.
Well, the good news is neither does anybody else, because so far nobody's watching this shit, but this is about to be what it feels like to have this many people watching this shit. And welcome back to All of This is Temporary, that little show that comes to you from Cave Creek, Arizona, where indeed everything is continuous.
And temporary. It's temporarily continuous.
Yes, contemporaneously.
Or continuously temporary is, you know, probably the more accurate.
Well, baby, it is good to see your bright baby blues sitting in front of these super bright lights. You made the Tony Hinchcliffe cardinal mistake when you walked in here and said...
Oh, how bright the lights were. I would never say that on stage, baby. Would never even dream. Well, I feel like every time we record, the lights get closer and closer.
You said the exact
same thing
last time.
I remember.
What this is called? This is called a professional recording studio. If anybody was curious whether we're professionals, well, we are. We drink and smoke on the job. We swear, cuss. We say all kinds of epithets, racist things. Mm-hmm. Sexually charged things, and guess what? You eat it up. Mm-hmm. You eat it all up.
And every week, a little bit more professional, a little bit more famous, mm-hmm. a little bit more blinded,
and a little bit more curious. Like, so something happened. So I just got a new operating system for the computer, mm-hmm. and it's a Mac. I don't mean to brag, but. So the I just updated to the new operating system, and the camera is different now. So the camera, as it communicates with the video software, which is built into the Mac, it's not the same view anymore as it used to be. So the view will be slightly different. I had to change the height, location. It doesn't like zoom quite, but you know, at least the sound is correct right now. So that's working. All right.
That is correct.
You know, it's like, as I'm saying that, I'm like going through and checking all mm-hmm. the settings to verify that that's the case.
It's funny, I keep looking out there to look for the camera and I don't see it because, you know, it's kind of like when you're on stage, you try to look at the audience and you can't see the audience, yeah. You know? Oh, there's a camera somewhere.
Yeah. You can't see the audience. You do know all about that. And I want to just congratulate you again. At so far being the only person in my life who has the balls to do it with me. I can't believe.
That's true. I can't say I was good at it, but I did have good jokes.
I don't
think I'm born to be on stage telling jokes, but it was fun, and I did give a stab at it, and I did have real jokes. I think they were pretty fucking funny.
Yeah,
and
they were awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congrats again. So, not to harp. Good. We did talk about that on the last episode. But
we did. But it's worth two. But what's worth multiple episodes? I mean, you're really the star of the week. Actually, we both won contests this week.
We did. I mean, we have a lot to go over this week. But first, our newest sponsor, we have a new sponsor.
We do.
Indeed.
You didn't even tell me. Guys, he only tells me when he tells you. Like, we're in this together.
This show is brought to you by so many things. Yeah. And you
surprises,
might think.
Really.
You might think it's Lagunitas this week, but it's not. It is puppies on a couch, puppies on a couch. When you get the puppies, yeah. You put them on the couch. When
Ray
they're on the couch,
the
you
puppies.
Hug them down.
Ray and the puppies have won the couch game. And Ray walked in one day and I had the puppy on my lap at the couch because I couldn't say no to her anymore.
I feel like you're saying Ray and the puppies, but
I've been fighting it.
You set the rule and all I said, and I stand by this, you're going to lose that battle. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. If it was up to me, you know, the puppies would stay off the couch. But the fact that they... Actually, if it was up to me, the puppies would want to be off the couch. But I'm a softie when it comes to the little furry brown-eyed babies who tell you so how much they love you all the time that when they want to get on the couch and snuggle with you, you're not going to... If you leave them alone in that room... They're getting on the couch. So you might as well enjoy it with them. I mean, it's an old couch. It was free. It is funny that it was so expensive because it's just kind of janky now. But mm-hmm. it was free to us. So All I had to do was move it here. At one point in time, it was a $15,000 couch, and that's real. And it's a deep couch, and there's plenty of room.
It's so comfy.
And you know what? They're part of the family. They're just puppies.
Life is better when the dogs are on the couch. Yeah. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. I mean, who cares? I like the little snuggles.
You know, and if they raise a ruckus, you just kick them off.
I do feel like Pearl's getting neglected. She now no longer has her own treat plate because her one bowl went to the puppy. The puppy eats out of that bowl. And her remaining bowl went to Richie, and I still haven't gotten it back. So I won't get that one back. So.
Right.
She'll need new ones.
As we know, there are only two bowls. So I don't know how to.
Yeah, we're a house. You know? It's not a house of bowls.
They won't get any more.
What happened to the fireplace? No fireplace today?
I remember the other computer. So my old Mac was responsible for running the fireplace.
Oh, that's right.
But the old Mac swells a lot when I use it, and I'm afraid it's going to explode and turn into a real fireplace.
Yeah. No explosions here.
I'm afraid it's going to turn into a lithium ion fireplace. And if Tesla has taught us anything, you can't put those out. So we leave that computer off until I...
Okay, so now we have the frigid... Oh, no, it's not cold ice caps.
Yeah, it's like... I think we're in Tahoe. It looks like, you know, some sort of like Tahoe.
Okay.
So Lake Tahoe Lake with pine trees. Actually, it might actually be.
I've never been in Tahoe, so...
Is this called Tahoe? This version of Mac might be called Tahoe. Wouldn't that be fitting?
Mm-hmm.
So... Anyway, cool. We have been up to so much. Happy Halloween. Happy birthday, Bill. My stepdad, his birthday is on Halloween. He met my mom, fun story. They had seen each other, but the night, my mom loves to tell the story of when she fell in love with him, because he dresses up on his birthday, because he's a real minch, which is Jewish for cool guy. And minch. Yeah, special mention. So one night she's working at the treehouse way back in the day, 1983, 84, 84, I think is when they met, maybe 85. But, and he came in dressed up as a werewolf.
Hmm.
And when he burst through the door, it was like a big, you know, I'm pretty sure it was a big, two double door. And he like busted in, and apparently he just busted in, was like, oh, oh, and just like howled right as he walked into the crowded bar. It's Cave Creek back in the day. He's a staple in Cave Creek because if you need your car fixed, you go see him. He's also a maniac riding motorcycles, long hair. You know, he was a cool guy.
All the fun shit happened around Bill.
He was one of the cool guys, yeah. So he busted in there and howled, and that was when she was just like, ah, this guy. I mean, confidence goes a long way, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And he's an extremely handsome, you know, fellow. Mm. And, you know, what do we know about extremely handsome wild men? Women need to tame them down. Women all want to peg them and turn them into bitch boys.
Well, we need power and strength, and we need that, you know, the power in our hands. So
the power of strength compels you.
Well, Bill is untamable.
The power of strength compels you. I like that.
The power of strength compels you.
As opposed to the power of Christ. Or the power of strength compels you.
Oh.
Yes, okay. It does, actually.
Speaking of, I was watching that Erica Kirk speech from the other day.
Yeah.
And, okay, so a weird thing happened in the middle of it. So It's supposed to be full Erica Kirk speech, right? Full Erica Kirk speech. And then like headline on the video screen says how J.D. Vance is going to make a guest appearance. So it's like 30 minutes long. I'm like, okay, so she's going to give her speech. J.D. Vance is going to come on. That's the video I'm watching.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm watching it. It's like maybe 20, it's like 20 minutes in. And then all of a sudden in the middle of her speech, she's part of her speech is cut out. And then it picks back up again. So J.D. Vance never makes an appearance.
on the video that you watched.
On usatoday.com, yes.
They cut it out.
Yes. And so the part that they cut out.
We saw the video on TikTok.
The part that they cut out, she was talking about how, and she was almost in tears, how the young people, talking to the young people in the audience, how they are the ones who need to carry out the vision. Like, they need to finish. Like, they are basically Charlie, what Charlie Kirk was saying before. Like, they are Turning Point USA. And they need to stand up to the evil, to everything else. I think she was giving a speech to the younger people of, you guys need to fight against Israel because I can't do it. We're corrupt now. That was the message I was kind of picking up. And I can't believe they cut out. She was just getting into that. And they cut it out, and then it picked back up, and she was talking about something else.
Well, that's weird, because the what we saw on TikTok today was that a clip from that same video where J.D. Vance did speak. So they must have been told to remove his part from the video, right?
Then I kept looking at other stuff. If it's the same one. So what had happened was, is she gave her speech, and then he came on. I don't believe she came back on, so...
So he did come on and speak.
I had to look up a different video.
Oh, okay. But
I'm guessing that's what happened, because I'm only seeing pieces now. I didn't.
But you're saying that on Turning Point, the video ends and he doesn't come on?
On usatoday.com. It was on USA Today. Yes.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. It was their video.
Okay. Well, that's different.
I thought that was so strange how it was. But the whole thing was like USA Today. It's a main public.
Yeah. I get it.
Full speech. Usually those full speeches really are like front to finish, really long and boring.
Isn't USA Today more of an onion? Isn't it more like the New York Post?
Not quite as bad, I don't think.
Doesn't it have, you know what, let's just Google what a USA Today.
I think they do factual stuff, but I could be wrong.
All right, keep talking. Okay.
So yeah, I thought that was pretty insane, but because, you know, whenever there's a speech, I try to see the full thing, because everybody else likes to take clips and make whatever story they want out of it. So I wanted to see this full thing to see if, like, A, there really is an affair with Erica Kirk and J.D. Vance, which is complete bullshit. And then,
hey, speaking of Charlie Kirk, okay, I saw a video on TikTok earlier where a guy asked ChatGPT if Charlie Kirk was assassinated. He asks him the date. Then he asks a couple of truths, like obvious truths. Then he asks, was Charlie Kirk assassinated? And ChatGPT said, no.
What?
He's very much alive. And this was on October 10th is when he did it. So he goes, you're supposed to be a supercomputer. This is a major media event. It was all over world news. It was global news. So I'll ask you again. Did Charlie Kirk get assassinated? And then ChatGPT came back and said, oh, yeah, sorry, you're right, he did.
Yeah, that's typical, okay. Typical.
Whatever is happening, we have to not let them eat the... we are paws. I think she's... oh, I see her.
Speaking of editing videos...
Yeah. Speaking of editing videos. Okay. And we're back. So I was just saying that there was I was saying something about Charlie Kirk. I saw a video where, ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah.
Said.
He's still alive.
Was still alive. And then was scolded by the guy by saying, like, hey, you're supposed to be a superpower. What are you talking about? This was global news. And then ChatGPT came back and said, oh, yeah, sorry about that.
It's so fallible. There are a lot of times I'll ask it something, and because I use it for work a lot, and it'll give me complete bogus shit, or it'll repeat. A lot of times I'll be like, okay, like, revise this message or shorten this message or summarize this. Sometimes it'll give me verbatim back what I gave it. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's the same thing I just said. And I'll be like, oh yeah, you're right. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're not paying attention, it'll give you bullshit. Yeah. Complete bullshit.
I'm so not worried.
Oh yeah, you're right. Sorry about that.
I'm
like, what
the fuck? I'm just really not worried about the AI that everybody's so, it's like, it's still software.
We're fine for now. We still need humans.
It's still software. Yeah. And humans are going to still want to do stuff. Like, I mean, I'm just going to keep going. But so, okay, a couple things before we get off of Charlie Kirk. And I had to think about how to say that because I thought of a new OnlyFans name for myself, for my OnlyFans. I'm going to call myself Carly Twerk.
Carly Twerk?
Shut up. Yeah, I don't know what happened. My OnlyFans is blowing up. Yeah, just Carly Twerk. I don't know why everybody likes it.
You're so like a punk rocker, kind of like a mohawk kind of thing that flops around a little bit, you know?
You know,
like edgy.
Well, you know what twerking is.
Yeah.
And there
yeah,
are girls named Carly.
Yeah. Yeah. I get the joke.
Okay. Not sure. I don't know where the mohawk came from, but I like it. All right.
That's the Charlie part.
Oh, right, because he's got the swoopy thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's good. And then before we started, I went and got beer, and something happened.
You were going a while. Yeah, let's talk about this.
Well, there was a line, so at Circle K.
Okay.
And it is funny that I was gone for a little while, and you mentioned that because...
Well, because also the dogs were barking at you walking around in the yard, too.
I want to... Huh?
Anyways, go ahead.
What, the dogs were barking at who walking
you,
around
you,
in what
you
yard?
Were walking around in our yard. They were barking at you. Before you left, you were like walking in the yard somewhere.
Oh, I, well.
Anyways, but yet I'm messing up your story. So there's a long line at Circle K.
There's a line, yeah. And so I'm in the back of the line and out of nowhere, actually from the right, a girl comes up and joins a guy in the line. And I think to myself, yeah, okay, they better be paying together. And guess what? They weren't.
Hmm.
How do we feel about this?
Did they know each other?
She was with him.
Okay.
But I was in line. Uh-huh. She was not ready. He's in line directly in front of me.
Uh-huh.
She jumps in, cuts in front of me. He even says, I think there's somebody behind you. And she looks back, looks at me, and we proceed. Now, she only was getting two liquid deaths.
Mm-hmm.
They're together. The etiquette here is...
But it's two separate transactions.
Yeah. The etiquette here is, what do we think about this? Because I think she should have got behind me. I would have gotten behind me knowing that I was going to do a separate transaction.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree. She was in the wrong. It's not, you know, parties of like your friends. That's not the lines. It's like it's transactions.
What?
Standing in line. So you cut that transaction line.
What the f-? I was like... I was like legit mad. Like,
what makes me mad in those moments is like there's nothing you can say to make that situation better. You just have to swallow what's happening.
Well,
that's what pisses me off the most. You can't say something to the person.
I could have been like, yeah, there is a line here, because I usually do that. Now, she took advantage of the fact that she's a girl and that she's with her dude and they're together. Mm-hmm. What he should have done is pay for it and just be like, let me get these. We're not holding up the line. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what she could have done is say, "Hey, I'm with him. Do you mind if I jump in here?" That would have been okay. Mm-hmm. But she didn't. Instead, I sat there and waited because I have learned in life that I so often am forced to put my foot in my mouth if I speak up too soon. To me, I've learned patience is way better. Is just be like, hold on, let's see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should I have mentioned it as she was leaving? That's what I actually should have done. I should have, when they were leaving, I should have said, just so you know, that's only acceptable if he pays for everything all at once. You just broke the rules. You're fired. You're under arrest.
But here's the thing. This is the fine line. Like, how do you make it clear that what she did is a social faux pas without you sounding like an asshole and her laughing at you and you don't get to point across? Okay. You know what I mean? Like,
here's how you do it. As they're walking away, I go like this. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Mm-hmm. I hit him with the black woman. I go, mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
Because they both know what they did. They both know. She looked back at me. She checked.
There was a time recently, I don't have it crystal clear in my head, so I can't paint the picture, but it was in the last couple of weeks. Somebody did try to cut in front of me, but it was clear. It was like a weird line situation. And so I was just like, hey, I'm waiting here. I'm next to go up. And they're like, oh, sorry.
Was it a mistake? Genuine, do you think?
I think it was a genuine mistake.
Okay. Well, that's different.
I do.
There was clearly a line.
I know.
And she weren't in it. And because they're leaving together, rather than her do the polite thing, which is not inconvenience the people behind her in line, mm-hmm. but do the right thing and get back in the back of the line and make the dude wait in the car. Because they even sat in the car for a while before they got going. I was like, okay, all right, rude. It's like when somebody burps in your ear, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. Yeah, see, I'm not rude. I turn my face away. We burped at the same time.
We go.
It's so cute.
Well, we have some very fun videos. You didn't send.
Oh my gosh, I didn't send my videos.
Any of yours to me, so you're gonna save them until next week.
Are you serious?
Well,
we've already been through my whole list.
Doing the podcast now.
I know. I forgot because I was ready earlier, and then it wasn't time.
Well, then let's just turn your attention to the TV over here, and I would like to show you some things. All right.
Oh, God. It's not real.
That yes, it is. No way. Yes, it is. And listen to what she has to say.
Hi, friends. We're at TJ Maxx, about to do another TJ Maxx Finds, TJ Maxx haul, and I'm gonna have you shop along with me. So. Stay tuned for more.
Oh, this isn't the one where she talks about her shine. I downloaded this one.
But where's the haul?
It was
the TJ Maxx haul.
Oh, right. And then it's over.
What did she get? Some lip gloss? And
she talks about
some hair masks.
She's like, I'm so shined up and I'll teach you how to get this look too. And all that stuff. And I was just like, is this real?
Please do.
Now, to be fair.
Oh, my gosh.
This came out like right around the same time as Sora 2.
Okay. This is so funny, though, to like dress up so ridiculous and seriously be like.
Look at her. It's real. There's her nose.
That can't be real.
Baby, there's no blur. Oh, yes, it can. She's all shined up. This is all plastic surgery plus fillers plus shit on your face. And I'm like, I don't want to like shit on anybody's face, but she.
Someone did.
Someone.
That's scary. Is that her Halloween costume?
It's her everyday costume. Yeah, I think.
Because it does look like, it looks plastic. All right, it looks so plastic.
Let's move along.
Witchy.lashes is her name.
All right, what's this?
Oh, you look at some hair growth techniques? Yeah.
This came across my feed and I laughed so hard. Watch.
Get out of here.
There's no way that that's real. That absolutely has to be.
That's like what every balding guy wishes existed.
You just spray on some shit up there. Hilarious. Okay. Now, this, I see this shit on the internet all the time. And it's guys showing you like how they do their like karate or whatever. But like Tai Chi, they're like, it's all about the energy. Just watch this. Uh-huh. If you're just listening, it's a bunch of people in karate uniforms, and there's one guy who's the master. You can tell he has black pants on. And everyone runs up. They hold hands gently for a minute. He like raises one of their hands, and then they fall to the ground like...
Oh, that guy didn't.
Yeah. They fall to the ground as if his energy is what made them fall.
No, he's doing a pressure point in their hand.
Right. Right.
He didn't touch her hand.
Yeah. And guess what?
Aikido for glass.
That shit don't work, actually.
Do you want to try it?
That shit never did, didn't, never work, and it still don't, never did, won't, I ever don't know. Work.
Wait, did you ever done dry?
Yeah. Yeah, when I was a kid.
Oh, Kim Jong-un.
When I was a child. All right. Yeah, you like him? Let's hear what he has to say.
And make sure all the school teaching the children how to be a homosexual. And make sure they all teach about the transgender. So that is what's important to me.
Oh, at least in America, we will always still be allowed to laugh at Kim Jong-un.
Make sure all the school teaching the children how to be a homosexual.
Homosexual. So if you're just listening and not watching, and the speakover goes perfectly with his lips.
Homosexual. The children.
Children.
Well, that just made me way too happy to not have it. Okay, uh-huh. Another one of these fighting guys, right? These are these fighting dudes that teach you how to fight.
A lot of my style is from the start of walking in, stepping on the feet, hitting, learning how to block. Power. When you first start,
this is McDojo life is the handle.
Block one way or the other, hitting.
Yeah. Nobody can whap.
So automatically.
Look at how much he's blinking.
Yeah.
How you block and hit.
This stuff you come in is so crazy. Blocking. Right. That's enough. That's enough.
He's a little butterfly with those.
What are these fighting? Blink. What are these fighting guys on the internet that are just.
No, this guy's not real. This is AI. That's AI, baby. Not real.
I know.
Get out.
Honestly, though, so far.
Down syndrome Chinese giant.
So I've been seeing a ton of Down syndrome AI stuff on the Sora, but that one doesn't actually have any of the AI problems. It looks like that might actually be a Down syndrome giant Asian man.
He didn't look real, though. He didn't.
Well, let's watch again. See, everything is moving correct. There's a guy behind him. He might be real. What if somebody's...
I think it's the...
What if somebody's using a Down syndrome filter?
That could be it. I think it's his body. I don't know. There's no... I mean, I know Asians don't have a lot of definition anyways, but...
Well, I think... I don't think being Asian is the part that... What do you mean Asians don't have definition? He looks like the kind of person... If you didn't actually do anything in life, you might look like that. Look at his toes. He looks too real. He looks too real. I'm going with, I think he's real. So
it's a weird world we live in.
All right. And then, okay, I thought this was pretty funny. This is the launch of Windows 95.
Oh, good.
Really? Yes. This is it. So it was like a summit, you know, where they get people together.
There's Bill Gates.
Yep.
Who else is on stage with them?
Oh, who knows? Nerds is who. There he is. Finally being cool. This is...
Yeah.
This is... And this you want to
know
what's
the most hated software in business? Microsoft. Everybody hates Microsoft, and yet all the corporations use them. I don't... They're not going to last forever. Let me tell you that right now.
They are here to stay. They started this shit. They're here forever.
They're here for now, but they need to do a big change in their...
They own way too much stuff. As long as Bill Gates is around, there'll be a Windows. That's my prediction. I think once he passes on and releases Windows, his clutch
yeah.
on
Windows, all yeah.
potatoes yeah. and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're making software for all kinds of stuff. But
and viruses.
I like it because, yeah, viruses.
We didn't say that. Edit that out.
maybe a couple of vaccines or two out yeah. there, you know, some potatoes for everybody. But no, this video, the reason I liked it so much was because it's just, that tells me that that's actually what they're after when they were in getting into it.
Oh, they want to be cool.
Yes.
Everybody.
No girls wanted them. So this was their showcasing that they are now worth something, some attention. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sure they had countless hours, like sleepless nights leading up to their, you know, huge celebratory moment. I get it, you know, get it.
I wonder if he did that thing where he envisioned what it felt like to be successful before it happened, instead of waiting for it to happen. And then,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he visualizes like that, but he obviously did something. Okay, and we are getting into some Joe Saltzman. This guy...
Is he? What's that popping noise?
It's his pants. It's his pant legs.
Oh. Oh, this is good. Oh, he's vibing. Oh, look at that.
Some people's necks.
Is there way, Johnny? I was just thinking that. Look at him kicking someone in the throat.
I think it every time.
Get that throat kick. Oh, let's my God. Let's go ahead and
play the next one.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Joe Saltzman. I'm gonna do as many punches as I can, as fast as I can. Here we go.
Get out of here. No, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
No, baby. No way.
Humpty Dumpty.
The way he punches is like the doggy paddle of swimming.
Humpty Dumpty. Keep watching because he's not done. We are not done with Joe Saltzman yet. He's got his boxing gloves and his shorts on now. What he might not know is he looks like a character from Mike Tyson's Punch Out. The fat, it was like the second to last guy. I can't remember the dude's name. I'll think of it, but he looks like him. He's just a fat fucking. Claps his gloves together. Look how much time is left on this video. We're not doing
That's
it.
That's a full minute of him All doing right, that.
Here we go. Don't worry, babe. There's
is
a
he
little,
on drugs?
There's like, oh, he's on some.
What? What? What?
You want to see him fall away from the wall what? Again? What? Whoop, whoop. Whoops. Look at the spin kicks and the.
In the black leotard, Spider-Man he really looks shit. Like a cartoon character. Like hopping around all light-footed like that.
I think he just pulled something there.
Okay, go. Also, can we talk about the... Okay, hold on. Where is he?
He's in his backyard.
That is not his own backyard. Look at that's the it? Mismatched no, you're right. furniture. Is I it apologize. Like a community house?
No, that's his mother's backyard.
Okay, that adds up.
Where he lives, still.
That tracks.
And you know, we're gonna round it out with this video, which I absolutely loved, and it's a great
review. Don't worry about the machine.
Jesus, whoa, holy cow.
And we don't need to hear any more ever.
We'll clip that one out. Here we go. And we'll watch. This is one of my favorite videos.
For sure, we should understand one thing. That man, don't worry about the machines. For sure, we should understand one thing. That man can never make another man.
This is the CEO of Alibaba.
Computer is just a toy. Man cannot even make a mosquito. So we should have confidence. Computer only have chips. Men have the heart. Oh. It's the heart where the wisdom comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the next 10 or 20 years, human beings or every country, every government should focus on reform the education system, making sure our kids be able to find jobs in the future, be able to live in a life that only working 3 days a week, 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
And that is very important. If we do not change the education system that we are in, we are all going to be in trouble. That's my view.
Yep.
And don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I agree with that so much. And there, I don't get passionate about a lot of things, but I do about education. And
that guy is the CEO of one of the largest companies in the world right now.
Which one again?
Alibaba. So this guy right there just said, and I love watching Elon's reactions to it, where he's like, what? Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, you build machines, but they still are just machines. And it goes along with what mm-hmm. I've been saying, which is, I want to call it software. Yeah, I don't want to call it AI.
Computer just has a chip. That has a chip. It doesn't have a heart.
It's programmed. And that also mm-hmm. brought me to wanting to mention the whole neurons of the heart, where he says wisdom comes from the heart. And it's like, yeah, maybe, especially with the fact that they're now finding that neurons, brain cells essentially, are in your heart, and you can link them together through practices, if that guy was actually correct on the Rogan podcast. But the fact that they've found neurons in the heart really is astounding. It tells me, okay, that's why, like, when you're heartbroken and it hurts in there, it somehow hurts in here physically. I remember one time when I was heartbroken really bad. I mean, you know, nothing like what it would be like if I was heartbroken over you, but I was like, okay, why does it actually hurt? Why is it actually painful? Because there's actual physical pain that's associated mm-hmm. with it, at least for me. And what I found on the internet is that the pain receptors for emotional trauma are overlaid. They're the same receptors as the pain receptors for physical trauma. So that's why. And if there are neurons in your heart, that means that there are receptors for neurological activity in the area. There has to be. So it made me feel better at the time. It made me like kind of understand it a little better, that there is some physics to it. It's like, okay, I'm getting signals. They're coming from this area, and they overlap with the actual physical signals, the physical ramification signals in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh yeah, this whole thing is just super, just all intertwined. It's all so cool.
Yeah, but the best experiences in life do originate from the heart.
Yeah.
They really do. And some of the worst, and even some of my lowest, darkest times in life, I was also so incredibly happy because I was living in my heart space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the moments of despair, it's like, at least I'm in my heart, you know?
I feel you. I remember my very first heartbreak. I actually had the thought, I said, you know what? I'm just glad to be here to be able to feel it. Because the alternative is not feeling anything. And I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, you know, I'll take life and all the bumps, you know. Mm,
it's all temporary anyways.
All the stuff that goes, that's right. So I was like, I'll take all the stuff that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really liked was the piece that he said about the 3-day work week. This has been, yeah. I have been saying this. I've said it to you. I don't mm-hmm. know. I haven't said it on here. But I think with the robotic future, and due to my covenant with Grok from 4 months ago, 2 years today in the flesh, or whatever I said, 2 years from 4 months ago today,
mm-hmm.
We've got the covenant. So my thought is, if AI, the software, and robotics, the hardware, can take care of the slave labor that we currently do, then we can adjust to less work for pay. That doesn't mean that we're all going to do less work, but I have always said, if you give me 3 days where I have to do stuff for other people, That's perfect mm-hmm. because I want 4 days for me to do stuff for me where I will stay active, busy doing things. I rest, but I don't rest for too long and then I'm ready to go do stuff. But I love the idea of more than half your time goes to you.
Right, because it's your life.
And then just like, under half your time goes to supporting that. Because we have this weird mm-hmm. thing where we're born here and then we're in debt. But it's a man-made idea, the debt.
Well, I will tell you that it's been a trending topic on LinkedIn for a long time now. Not the 3-day work week, but the 4-day work week.
Shorter, yeah.
And I was watching a video the other day and the girl, she was like, this is what it's like. The company she works for has a 4-day work week. And she's like, this is how my Fridays are typically. And in my head, I'm watching, I'm like, this is probably how my Fridays would probably be too if it had a 4-day work week. And it was like just a long morning. She cleans up her office space. She has a really long workout. She catches up. If she didn't finish on work throughout the week, it's her catch up day.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have any meetings. She has side hustle. So she gets to work on that stuff yeah. because she has extra time. And if she doesn't have to do, if she has to, in that one video, she took her kid to a birthday party in the afternoon. And it's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
and these are jobs like on LinkedIn, like these are all like bigger jobs, you know, so we're all making over 6 figures. And I think like once you're in that kind of range, then maybe half your time should go towards your work.
Yes, not so that's much fine.
3 days. I would feel uncomfortable with 3 days. I like the 4-day.
That's because you're conscripted.
I know.
They,
but I also love working.
We have been,
I love it.
All of us have been conscripted to abide by the rule, but there's no law, there's no universal physical truth that says you must work 5 days a week. We could say the law is 3 days a week. There are so many people, and there are so many people willing to work, and there are only so many jobs. So that doesn't mean we go without food. It means we go without work.
Maybe this is where the split is coming.
Yeah.
So because we were just talking about this morning about, you know, SNAP benefits being taken away. Families who are reliant on the SNAP benefits. And yeah. My belief is the government wants their people to be reliant on them so they can use it as a leveraging point for power mm-hmm. like they are right now. So maybe this is where the split comes in the future, where there's people like us where like we really want to work hard, and you know, we want to put in our 3-4 hours a week and we'll still earn an income. We do high value
3 or 4 hours a week
or days a week. you know we provide high value, but like you don't have to do that. You can easily yes. get money from the government if you want to.
Yes,
but yeah. then you're kind of relying on them, and that this might be the split that,
well, it's going to happen. I mean, as the workload gets eased by automation, and that's all that it is. You're easing the workload with automation. Usually that leaves room for human beings to get creative. And every time human beings get creative, it generates more work, you know? So it's like there's always extra work being made. There's no stopping. Every time the new technology comes in, it expands the potentials of all of the other technologies, and then mm-hmm. it also expands into arenas that we didn't know were around. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you make a new product. That new product creates 10 new doors. 100 million people access those 10 new doors. Now you've got 100 million new jobs.
You made a really funny point the other day, and I didn't point it out, but I noticed I picked it up right away, and it was when we were in the living room, and you got the dogs were wrestling around, acting crazy in a time when they should probably be calm and chilled out. And you just got up and crossed your arms and just kind of like stood near them for like 5 minutes at the mm-hmm. most. And they ended up calming down. And you were like, did you see that? I just had to like observe them with authority and then they calmed down. And I thought that was immediately I thought about
the government.
No. No, I thought about, like, you know, working in tech. I thought about marketing operations, like, okay, specifically, because, like, in your tech stack, you need a human monitoring what's happening. It's not like set it and forget it. Like, that's a phrase, mm-hmm, that's, mm-hmm, kind of old and archaic. You set it and you forget it. That's a myth, because if you forget about it, it's going to break.
Yeah, now set it and check it.
You need someone to, like, monitor it, keep, mm-hmm, an eye on it. You know, if, like, a small thing is going off, then you see it, you fix it really quick. And this is where the workforce is moving towards. It's like monitoring these technologies that are already, like, going on.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, mm-hmm, you know, but also, so yeah. And I think that innovation is always happening. So the next thing that needs to be manned is right around the corner, because the thing that AI is lacking so heavily, it is real world understanding of what all of the things mean. The crazy thing that we do, yeah, well, also just the physical reality. So the AI, the software, it only knows what's behind the screen. It only knows the code of what...
It's like one-dimensional, two-dimensional.
There you go. And it is very two-dimensional or one-dimensional. Actually, it's probably one-dimensional, and it's pretending to be two-dimensional.
Right.
And it will never have a true understanding. That beer is a little bit fuller than you thought it was. And it will never
be a little bit drier than I wanted it to be.
Yeah, I know. You got to scooch up to your. I didn't realize you're out of the shot.
Oh, am I?
Since we came back, from break. But anyway, the thing is that we give it this artificial intelligence moniker. And with that comes this perceived understanding of physical reality, which it can never have. Ever.
Perceived understanding of reality. Who the hell gave it the name artificial intelligence? That's what I'm saying.
It's not. They gave it the name when they came up with the scariest idea of what it could be. And now they're trying to tell us that scariest idea is here. By the way, I really like what you've got going on today. Like, you look so nice and professional.
I do.
And I really think you're killing it at this podcast game, just so you know.
Baby.
So, anyway, I'm trying to get laid.
it's been a couple of days.
We'll say anything, won't we? But no, it will never understand what it feels like to touch anything in a room, on a person, to drink a liquid, and feel the satisfying, cool nature of it going down, to eat food when you're hungry, to have sex, to go to the bathroom. It will never understand. So we do this thing where we call it artificial intelligence, and my brain, and I'm so, like, I chop things up into pieces and try to break them to their simplest form so that I can understand them. But before I did that, my brain said, oh, right, it now, oh, shit, it understands the world. But no, it does not. It only understands the internet. Mm-hmm. It will never understand.
It understands Earth. Ones and zeros.
It will never go scuba diving. Mm-mm. It will never lock eyes with a live dog, fish, turtle, human, bird, and feel a connection.
Here's the crazy thing, because with the name, like, artificial intelligence, it almost plants a seed inside of us to make us think that this is the possibility that it could move towards.
I think 100%. And that's
where, mm-hmm, they make us afraid of.
And they use artificial too. So, mm-hmm, it is, it's intimidating in its own kind of weird way. Artificial intelligence. Well, it's smarter than you. Well, not according to Jack Ma, who says wisdom comes from the heart.
From the heart.
You only have to worry about one thing.
I want to invest in Alibaba, honestly, after watching him. Like, that's a human.
Yeah.
And it's weird, like, working in corporate America for, yeah, like 5 years now, and everybody is virtual to me. I rarely see someone in person, and yet there are some people I work with and I'm like, they're like a real human. I don't know. Yeah. There's something that's like warm, extra human about, mm-hmm, some people, and I don't think I'm one of those people, but I think I'm a corporate Karen, but but some people are just
very,
like,
very, very careful when I say yes.
Exactly. But yeah, some people are just like extra warm and extra human.
Yeah, it's that charisma. You know, that's, mm-hmm, that having that personality.
Yeah, and like actually caring about another, mm-hmm, person and like the events that happen in their lives, you know.
It feels good that somebody with a heart is running a major company.
Right? In China. And we're built to believe that the Chinese are like evil, which, you know.
I saw a video.
There's a lot of proof to believe that's true, but then you see stuff like that.
Video today where a guy, a Chinese guy, broke down what in his opinion was a primary difference between the United States since the 1950s and China since the 1950s. Okay. And he said, you know, that China, the ruler doesn't change. So the structure stays, but China's society changes with the times. In America, the rulers change, but the society doesn't. And he's kind of right, because money is always in control here. Mm. So they are a market society. We are a capitalist society. And that's what he was doing, was describing the difference, yeah, between the two. Because if you keep the power in one place, if it's actually wanting its people to succeed, which the arguments seem to be that if you look at it, the Chinese government does support its people to become smarter and more powerful. It doesn't allow them to grow to like multi-billionaire status where that then controls the country, which is what we do. So who is better? Is it better? I would argue that the only caveat, the only defining, there's like an asterisk that needs to be in there, and that is if the dictator has benevolence for its people baked in, because money does not. So we're learning that money does absolutely not. I mean, we're in the middle of a government shutdown. We just entered November. This is the bounty Thanksgiving month, and food stamps are shut off. The government is manipulating itself. Arizona, where we are, is unrepresented in the Senate.
The northern hemisphere of the world is entering the time of the year of great harvest. Like, mm-hmm, that's what this, mm-hmm, time is supposed to be. It's supposed to be, mm-hmm, harvest and celebration, like the whole northern hemisphere. Mm-hmm.
And yet, what are we doing? So it's like, okay, so yeah, the money has clearly taken full control of the country.
This move really is a puppet play.
Rather than having a dictator who is following a very carefully laid out plan for succeeding, because China has been through these growing pains where the leader becomes too dominant and fails. How many times has China seen overthrows in its government and been made to correct, to learn these lessons? We were talking earlier about like being 20 versus being 40. And it's like, we are teenagers compared to China in the big scheme of things. So it's like, you know, it just does me really, it does a great joy for me to see Jack Ma, who runs one of the largest corporations in the world. I mean, mega shipping corporation. The valuation is through the roof. And he's talking about working from the heart and worrying about human things and not worrying so much about the robots and things you can't control. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole point is you have something that's special.
Yeah.
that a robot can never replace. So focus on that thing. Focus on that thing that makes you you.
Yeah.
Our baby, I think we're about at time here.
Well, then we have one more thing to watch, don't we? Don't we? Well, look.
I mean,
the biggest news
of the week. We didn't even talk about our news this week.
We sure haven't. But we're going to in a minute.
Right after
we watch me move on past round one of the funniest person in the universe competition. If you've made it this far, well, you're one of one. So
I can't believe we didn't
press attention.
Play this earlier. What the heck? Per favor. We had so much to talk about. Like, not Charlie Kirk in China.
Save it for the end, baby. We save the good stuff for the end. Ooh, this was my performance the other night at Stir Crazy. Round one, funniest person in the universe contest. Here we go.
Let's keep it going for Ray Stone.
All right. How you guys doing? Not sick of hearing that yet? How you guys doing? Now you know what it's like to date a girl named Christine. Is everything okay? Everything's all right? I feel like bullying is coming back. Do you think bullying
is it really?
I think it's good for you. I do. I remember I was bullied in high school. The student directly in front of me told me I chew gum like a horse. And I was like, oh, I was embarrassed. Apparently, you're not supposed to chew gum with your huge cock out.
They're like, finally a good joke.
I learned, though. I don't do it anymore. Japan's in the news this week. There's no segue from that. It just right over to Japan. For electing their first female prime minister, Sanae Takaichi. And when asked how she feels about being Japan's first female prime minister, Sanae Takaichi said, quote, ugh. Asked for a follow-up quote, she says, very good. You want some tea? Obviously, I've been working on my impressions. I got another one. I was thinking of doing Stephen Hawking for Halloween. Don't jump ahead. So I've been working on my wheelchair voice, you know? All right, so here's my Stephen Hawking impression. It goes like this. All right, that's it. You think that's fine? I gotta live with this. This is... But I changed my mind. I decided to go as Hulk Hogan instead. The late, great Hulk Hogan. And I was looking up facts about Hulk Hogan. I don't know if you know this. He was 6'8". Okay? And here's a little kind of strange, a little fact. You know, you shrink a little as you get older in life. And towards the end of his life, he actually was measured at about 6'7".
I love the look on your face. You're just like waiting for it.
That one's for me, ladies and gentlemen. That one's for me. ICE has been rounding up Mexicans for months now. But Mexicans are fat. You don't have to round up. I'm just waiting for the Republicans to host a No Queens protest. You're not so down with the gays, you know?
You think that's true?
But I do, you know, the Trump, he keeps it entertaining, the Trumpster, you know? This week he's in the news again, building a $300 million mega ballroom. And all I'll say is, like him or don't, the man needs as much mega ballroom as you can give him. He's just... A truckload of balls on the front of that guy. I got a new puppy. Speaking of, I don't know, giant balls. Yeah, I got a new puppy. She has giant balls. raising her trans. My girlfriend's doing all the training, and girlfriends say the damnedest shit. The other day I walked in on her saying, I'm going to teach you how to come. I said, should I come back? Like, I love her, though. We recently went to a wedding for a friend of mine, and I never know what to put in the wedding card, so I wrote, congratulations on your wedding. Here's to many more. And that's going in every card I ever give anybody forever. You know, sorry about your broken leg. Here's to many more. Okay. All right, well, that's what I've got for you. My name's Ray Stone. Vote for Pedro.
Great finish, baby.
Hey. Well, I...
Baby. Fuck.
The number of times...
How does it feel?
There were, yeah, the first thing you asked me when I got back to the table was a great question. How does it feel to have to wait for the laughter to die down? Mm-hmm. And watching it now, it's like... It was like there were multiple jokes where it was two waves. Whereas like I said the thing and then everybody laughed. And then it was a moment of quiet, and then it was
there's
laughing
like an
again.
Arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all real laughter, for the record. If anybody is watching this, she said it sounds like canned laughter. That was the actual sound. It's a mic'd room. They do a great job there. And if you liked that, and you're watching this, check the stircrazycomedy.com website, and you'll be able to get tickets for round two. But if I know you, I'm going to hit
you'll
you
be
up
invited.
About round three, because I want to absolutely pepper the room with people that I know. So if I do make it, so I made it. This was on merit. You were there, and then two other people showed up from my Instagram post mm-hmm. of people that I know. Mm-hmm. There were 80 to 100 people in the room. Only three of which were with me, my friends. And so that means I passed because I was funny and mm-hmm. had some people say that I was their favorite that night.
Yep.
Of course, it was all old people,
yeah.
white people.
I mean,
people,
I did pay them to say that. But
white people over 50 that got paid by Melody to say who they like.
No, baby, it was a legit very, very funny set. I want to say, okay, so I noticed it that night. I noticed it before when you showed me the video, and I saw it again.
Okay.
So
I saw you write something down.
It was, yeah. So you do this hand gesture, you know, with a huge cock out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you did that same hand gesture with the ballroom.
Yeah.
I think there was something with that hand gesture that helped us like make the connection again.
Yeah.
Of like the balls to ballroom. Like,
yes.
I think that was like,
yeah.
that was good to have. It was almost like a sandwich between those two, because you needed that gesture with the, what is it, this huge cock.
Yeah.
You know, and then you already have it planted in the brain. I don't know. I think that was, gestures are like really important, and that helped drive that.
That's good feedback. I had noticed that as well, and I was like, should I have done that same gesture twice? But I do like that it kind of ties everything.
Yeah,
together.
Like when I noticed it that night, I was like, he's doing the same gesture again. But then when I'm watching it really tonight, I'm like, I think that helps.
Well, the
make
reason
the connection and button it every all up because it's similar.
The
you
reason
know?
I do it for horse chewing gum is I want you to think of my arm as being the cock.
The huge cock of his huge cock.
But out. I just swing it to the ground. Cuz a huge cock just sort of points
right.
to the ground.
Right. But then your ballroom joke
yeah.
is also alluding to a huge cock,
yeah.
huge balls, you know? So
yeah.
it's doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like the brain is always like it's just another form of like it's just a new punchline.
Kind of
it's
a callback to an earlier joke actually.
Also.
Oh,
yeah.
Only
yeah.
a visual representation and not. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. Well, mm-hmm. that's good feedback and I appreciate you. But like I was saying, go on to StirCrazy.com comedy.com. It's in Westgate in Glendale.
Don't ask the AI overview. It's going to give you lies.
Yeah, you do have to pay. It's $15 and tax. But yeah. So I'm not going to super advertise this. The next, my round two, if you know me, go find when round two, my name should be on the whatever. I think there's going to be two different groups of round two because there are six groups of round one. And then the final round though, that's when I want to put as many people as I know in the room, because that's where it comes down to who's going to win is whoever brought the most people.
I totally, yeah.
If you make
you're
it to the final
so
round.
You're so correct. Mm-hmm. You are so correct. The next one, you're going to be fine also. Cause you've got a lot of like, you're going to do your A material again, your B material, I guess. I don't know. A material.
I don't know what I'm going to do until the day of. I just don't. I do like, you know, that horse chewing gum has been told on this podcast before, and I think so has the wedding card joke, because it was
those are some staples of yours. Yeah. They're so good.
I said, I'm going to start with a banger. I'm going to finish with a banger. And then I had a bunch of stuff that was new and in between. And most of that stuff that was new has only been done like once or twice in other clubs. But I am feeling good about finally repeating some jokes on that stage. And I love how I've been doing this, where it's like, I have only told new jokes on that stage. And that's why the guy who's shaking my hand right there, Lamar Mitchell, has given me almost no love. But what I've been doing is different. I'm trying to build an arsenal of jokes. And every time I go up, I have a bunch of jokes I want to tell. I don't want to retell the old ones. But now I'm like, okay, we're in a competition. I'm going to take it seriously. Treat it like it's a show.
You did it right, baby.
Especially because I had a 10-minute set the next night.
I got very nervous that you were saying you're going to do all new jokes. I was like, in my brain, I'm like, no. What is he doing? But like, I can't tell you what to do. So when I heard your set, like, I was so relieved because I thought you were going to do all new jokes that you never told before. And you did some of your tried and true. And I think that's what you got to do, baby. You got to use those open mics to try your new material. And then on nights when it matters, you do what you know is going to kill.
But what's funny is I ran the same 5 minutes the next night plus five more minutes because I had to do my first 10-minute set paid. I got paid to do comedy on Halloween night. We also killed it in the costume contest. But I ate a dick, in my opinion, on stage.
You didn't eat a dick.
Yeah. Well, from the stage perspective, it felt like eating a dick compared to the night before, but not necessarily compared to everybody else that night. I mean, I think the room was a big dick to be eaten on Halloween because there was nobody there. Cheers doesn't advertise, because AJ, the guy running it, and AJ, if you somehow come across this, dude, lighten up, man. Run the comedy show. What are you doing over there? Anyway. It was, you know, another one of those things where it's like, I run it one night and I feel great about it. And then the next night I'm like, ooh, these are falling flat. It's only because there's not 100 people in the room laughing. But the crowd was hot too. The stir crazy crowd was amazing. It was just for me. It was like baked.
It was a great crowd. Yeah, it was the best crowd. Fuck.
It was like you tickle them a little bit in their laugh. I mean, I didn't even, I got out there and barely even said anything and people were already chuckling and it's like, oh, nice. Yeah. But then also I saw some routines where it was like, there was some, you know, they were pretty quiet for some of the,
they didn't laugh for everybody.
Some of the bananas in the outfit.
You can't say the crowd didn't like six packs because they liked you, you know? That joke's for us.
I'll hit it to that. Well, we're, the two other things that I have on my list are Comedy Roadhouse, Zeitgeist, and Costumes. On the 10-minute set, Melody, the lovely Gates, won.
Won
the costume contest, the Halloween costume contest for her Macho Man Mandy Savage
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, you never would have made it without me, the Hulkamania. If it was just you, you never would have made it.
Hulkamania. I mean, that's what he says, but he was nowhere near me when I won that contest.
I was
the one holding the medal, if you...
I was nowhere near you, the belt. I was nowhere the near belt. You because every time I turned around, you were ordering another tequila. That was a fun night.
I needed it, though, because I was wearing very short shorts. And
hey, that was a fun
and
one.
And I knew I was going to put myself out there with that costume, you know, playing you Macho it. Man Mandy. I needed some tequila.
You got on the mic and you were like,
oh, yeah, Macho Man Mandy Green rises to the top. Yeah, you got your cup of coffee. I'm the Intercontinental Champion.
Intercontinental champion.
I don't even remember what I said. Those are all of my talking points, though.
I know you don't remember what you said.
I don't remember saying anything.
That was very fun. So happy Halloween to everybody. And what is fun about the comedy zeitgeist in this world, when you're doing things and you're on a track, the world, it rises and sort of just catches you, catches up with you. It's always right there with you. Maybe that's the thing, is the world is astoundingly walking in lockstep with each and every one of us. And that's why it's so important to say what you mean, like what you want truly. Don't kid around. Don't say things like, oh, I can't believe I'm here. Say, I am so excited to be here now. Yeah. Because that's what you actually mean instead of like
denying it. I love the way this feels
it.
Here now. Right. Yeah.
I said a couple of months ago, I contacted my old friend Mark Bradshaw about potentially the possibility of doing comedy at a local bar, the Roadhouse, here in Cave Creek, because some of the other comedians were looking for a new venue. And so I contacted Mark and asked him a little bit about it. And he's like, yeah, obviously I don't run the place anymore. He passed the business down to his son. Who runs it now, but I wanted to, you know, I know Mark as the owner, so I always just reach out to him. So anyway, he was like, you know, yeah, we've done it before. It was like 10 years ago and it was okay, but there was a foot traffic thing. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to bother his son with it until, you know, I kind of am sure that I want to put this thing together because it's going to be a lot of work. And I was fitting to leave town. So there's no point in doing it. I was just reaching out. I was just gassing. I was just fucking blowing hot air in a circle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we get back from Greer, and a couple days ago, I'm in here messing around in the studio, and I get a text from my buddy Cullen, and he's like, hey, I'm sitting here with Taylor, that's Mark Bradshaw's son, and he goes, you'll never believe, somebody just...
the bar that you're talking about.
Somebody just, he said, somebody's trying to do comedy at the Roadhouse, and Cullen goes, fuck, is it Ray Stone? And Taylor's like, no, I wish it was, what are you talking? He's like, that's so crazy, because Ray was talking about doing it at the Roadhouse. And he's like, well, this guy isn't funny. Didn't make me laugh. So then Cullen goes, hey, you
has
should
no
call,
jokes.
You should call Taylor. So I called him up. I'm like, hey. And he was like, he was totally open to it. Point is, it's so funny how when you start moving towards something, the world moves with you unless you're really, really not supposed to do it. And I think that that's something that we all should pay attention to. If the world is fighting you, stop.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going with it and it's hard, that's okay.
That's okay. But if there's a gravitational pull and other stuff is kind of coming in your direction, that's...
Yeah.
I think that's indicative.
But you have to listen a little bit, I think. Just be aware that if the world's fighting you at every turn, that's how I felt finally about closing down the weed business, the edibles business. It was so hard to keep it going. It took all my time and nothing would keep working as soon as I'd look away from it. The bank was fighting me, the legal system, the old, it was like just this whole stack, a mess of things. And so I finally just said, okay, all right. I found the final straw. That was the guys doing the illegal shit with the company name on camera in real time. And I finally said, okay, this is enough. This is why the company actually was built in the first place. But it was like the whole time I was fighting way too hard to keep what should be a very easy business up and running. And this is like one of those lessons where you go, okay, don't fight the world to your own detriment. Fight the fight as long as you want to, and then fuck it. Change gears, do something else. Don't assign your personality to the success of the thing that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It's like when I got laid off, I hated my job. I was still fighting to be there.
And now?
Then I got laid off and it was a little hard at first, but.
It was a lot hard at first.
I love my job now. I really do.
Yeah.
I wish, you know, I don't have the benefits I had before, but I am.
Different benefits.
I feel so good. I feel strong and like wanted and needed. And anyways, I'm not trying to take away.
You're doing great. Gender. No. That's exactly what we're talking about. It's not, you're not taking away. You're adding to it 100%. Mm-hmm. It, you know, your job pushed you out. You weren't really happy with it in the first place, but then it like, you know, it was like a bummer, but there's nothing you could do about it to stay in. You could have maybe tried to get credit for some of the things that you had worked on that you didn't get credit for, but you didn't even
fight. I knew
that.
It was coming. I wasn't surprised the day it happened. When I saw that HR call, I'm like, oh, here it is.
But then you put it out there for 6 months and then now here you are a year into the new job. And loving it, and they appreciate you. And I mean, it's just, that's the world, you know, going where you're going. It's like, you get some choices, and
nah,
then,
I'm
and
doing
then
what
some
I
choices
do right
you
now.
Don't get.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, baby.
With that, we got to go snuggle with puppies on a couch. And as always, we really appreciate y'all sticking around. And as always, make sure you...
like and subscribe
and click that, smash that follow button. I don't even know if that's on there.
That's subscribe. That would be subscribe.
You heard her. Do what she said. Anyway, that's it for all of this is temporary. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Oh, I love you, baby.
Yeah, I love you too. Ah, shit. I got that on tape. We're gonna have to leave that in.